You're listening to the Audacious Church podcast, recorded live at our Manchester campus. For more information, visit audaciouschurch.com.
We're going to be looking over the next few weeks from Genesis, the first book of the Bible. Genesis 12, 15, 17, and 19. We read about the incredible word of God that comes to Abraham. Abraham was, you know, just like us, but Abraham believed by faith that God could do amazing things, that God could do what he said he could do in his life. And we see from Genesis 12 through to 19, we actually can read in a few minutes and we can misunderstand this 25 years. I don't know how long you've been praying for something in your life, but if you're going to pray for 25 years, you're going to need some faith. You're going to need some patience. You're going to need some trust in God and many other things. And we're going to look a little bit about what was it about Abraham that just kept him going through hearing from God, hearing visions and dreams. Wow, God, you're causing me to look up and just think bigger than my current reality. And we're really believing that God is going to cause us, as we lift our eyes and believe for open skies, that God is going to pull back the clouds of familiarity. He's going to pull back the clouds of your circumstances. He's even going to pull back the clouds of your emotional state or whatever's going on in your life, so that again we can believe that God, who has open skies and open heaven for us, that we can experience joy, freedom, that we can experience new levels of big thinking, a big capacity, that we can truly live what Jesus came to give us, life and life to the full. And so we're going to believe as we speak about open skies, that God is just going to lift off ceilings in our lives. Can we stand to our feet and let's pray for a second? God, we just thank you for the power of your word. God, we just thank you for just beginnings that we read about in Genesis. And God, the early words of your voice to people on the planet that helped them to think way beyond their current situations, way beyond their current realities. And you were teaching, God, just to think the way you think and believe the way you believe. And I pray today you would help us, God, as we learn from Abraham, that we'd not be limited by our current realities, familiarities, experiences, challenges, but God, that you would lift us to see what you see, to believe what you believe, and God, dare to step out and see everything that you say come to pass. Expand our experience, expand our life, expand our capacity, expand our thinking in the name of Jesus. And everybody with faith shout it out. Amen. Amen. Well, you can grab your seats. We'd love you just over the next few weeks, read those few chapters from Genesis 12 all the way through to Genesis 19 and just see how God's going to speak to you. And we've got faith as we've been praying into these messages, how God's just going to cause us to look at everything differently. A couple of weeks ago, I asked my wife a question, and the question, I just said, you're going to need a little bit of time to answer this question and think about your response, because initially it'll seem like there's no answer. And so you're going to just rack your brain. You're going to need to think a long time and just allow maybe just God to help you. Maybe people around you are going to need to help you answer this question, because initially there'll be no response. And the question that I have for you today is there anything, just try and think, go away, a few months you may need, anything about me that either annoys you or frustrates you? That was a good question. But you know, and just put it out there. And just as I went to walk away, I thought she's going to need a few months on this one. She came back with a list. I'd see her scrolling through the phone. I thought you'd never ask. You know? And I'm just waiting. But, you know, one of the top things is when she sends me to go and find something, she says from her perspective, I don't know how she'd think like this, but it seems to be that I'll spend 90 minutes trying to find the thing that she's asked me to go and get. And I come back and I'll say, I can't find it. And yet when she then out of frustration goes to go, is someone laughing? Security, can we just... Well, it took me 90 minutes to come back with no solution. She found in 90 seconds. I mean, I don't know what you think about this, but from her perspective, this is what she says is her experience. And she says that when I go and ask you to look for something, apparently you don't just look with your eyes, you also look with your hands. And so sometimes you need to move things out of the way to find the thing that I'm asking you to find. You know, but often we can experience when we're trying to find something and we just can't find the keys or whatever it is, that the more the frustration builds, the more anxious we get, and we end up, you know, putting ourselves in a worse state to do the very simple thing and find the thing that's right in front of us. And I believe the same can be true in our lives, that we can be so busy trying to scramble around for an answer or a feeling of fulfillment or purpose, or we can even look at somebody else and we think, it's okay for Toba. We've got FOMO that, you know, whatever's going on in his life, if I could just get what he's got, then maybe I'll feel fulfilled and I'll be able to do what God's called me to do. And so we spend our life in comparison and trying to find what other people have found, and yet we build ourselves this environment and atmosphere of stress and anxiety, when the truth is the very thing that you need for your life is right in front of you. And the message today as part of this series, Open Skies, is if we want to see God expand our thinking and our faith and move into new things, then one of the first things we've got to do is understand what we have today. And so the title today is Look Again. We're not asking you today to look for something different, something other, something out there, something that Pastor Darren has got, something that will fulfill that emptiness inside. No. We're simply asking you today to look again. There's something right in front of you that if you understood fully and you had revelation that what I have in front of me is all I need, it will change everything. It will change your experience in life. It will change the atmosphere of your life. You'll walk with new joy and fulfillment. And you'll find that all the other things, the promises will take care of themselves. You see, when God spoke to Abraham, first of all, in Genesis chapter 12, he spoke to him a promise that was expansive and visionary, but low on detail. And God wanted Abraham just to get ready for something fresh and new. And in Genesis chapter 15, we're going to read today, it's almost like God is saying to Abraham, before you step into everything that I've got for you, I need you to understand something more important than that. Before you look up and look out, and before you see and before you reach everything that I'm putting on your heart to do and to see and to gain and to access, before you step into your promises, I want you to understand who I am, the promise maker. We've got to understand that we're not just after God's rewards. What we need to understand today, we have the rewarder. We're not just after God's promises. Today we have the one who makes promises. And so we've got to understand what we have today. We've got to look again. Genesis chapter 15 and verse 1. The word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Do not be afraid. Abram, I am your shield. I am your very great reward. 10 years into the journey, God is saying to Abraham, yeah, I know you're pursuing promises and seeing something fulfilled and accessing something that I'm saying you can get. But I need you to understand, as good as those things are, as good as acquisition, and as good as results, and as good as performance, and as good as the prize, and as good as those things are, I need you to understand, I am your shield. I am your great reward. Look again, Abraham. Don't put your hope in the things. Put your hope in me. I want you to understand this morning, every single person in this room, if you're a follower of Jesus, if you said yes to him, then number one, you have today, you have his presence. You're not waiting for his presence in your life. You have his presence. Genesis chapter 15, verse 1, the word of the Lord came to Abraham, I am your shield. We've got to understand the person that we have makes all the difference to how we live our lives. The other week, a couple of weeks ago, as a staff team, we went to Alton Towers. And as we were going around, the first ride we went on, I got on, and I'm kind of okay with roller coasters, but I got on and the ride pulls you up and you're face down on concrete. And at that thought, I'm fine with this ride, but I was thinking, the first thought that popped in my head is, you are now in your mid-40s. What are you actually doing? Who are you trying to prove? Like, what are you doing to yourself? I mean, you don't need to put your faith in the 16-year-olds that put the ride together this morning and have done the safety checks. Like, you don't need to do that to yourself. Like, what are you doing? How many of you know we do things with others that we wouldn't necessarily do on our own? As much as I'm never going to go to the cinema on my own. Apparently people do, and that's fine. I'm no judgment here. I wouldn't choose to go to Alton Towers on my own and go on rides. But when you're with people, you do things that you wouldn't do when you're on your own. That's why the power of community and relationship is so important. Because every one of us, for good or bad, we will end up doing things with others that we wouldn't necessarily do on our own. And God was reminding Abraham in Genesis chapter 15, on this faith journey, as you go out and try and pursue what I've promised for you, you've got to understand the most important thing is I am. I'm with you. And so wherever you can go with courage and with boldness. You can step out with confidence, knowing who's with you. Psalm 23 verse 4 says, even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil because you are with me. Even when I walk through the difficult situations of life. Not if, but when. When I walk through the seasons that I need to navigate, I understand I don't have to allow fear to control how I step into this situation. Because I understand it's not about the result, it's about who's with me as I walk through. And so I don't have to fear. And I wanted to encourage you this morning that whatever room that you're stepping into this week, whoever's in that room, and whether when you step in that environment, you're faced with intimidation or anxiety. You don't need to step in with fear and allow fear to control who you are, because it doesn't really matter what the outcome is. What matters is who's with you as you step in. You got to understand, I am the presence of God goes with me. His presence isn't just felt in worship on a Sunday or an altar call. His presence can be felt in every moment of every environment that you step into, that interview that you're going to step into. All you've got to understand is, as I walk through this valley, this interview, I understand, God, you are with me. And so I'm not going to allow fear to control how I am. God, I'm going to take a moment and declare, God, your power and your presence is with me wherever I go. So whatever environment I step into, I understand, God, you are with me. Hebrews 4:16. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. 2 Peter 1:3, his divine power has given us everything that we need for the godly life through our knowledge of him who's called us by his own glory and goodness. God has given you all of him. The moment you said yes to Jesus, the Bible tells us we have a deposit, the Holy Spirit, that guarantees our inheritance. You have the power of God. You have who he is. And so you can have boldness, courage, and confidence every single day. The next 7 days, wherever you go, God, your power and your presence is with me this week. You say amen. The second thing that you have, number one, you have his presence. Second thing is you have his protection. Genesis 15, verse 1, God said to Abraham, as you step into what I'm calling you to step into, 10 years into this journey, you've got to keep the faith high. And I want you to understand, as you walk, as you go, I am your very great shield. I'm your shield. I'm going to be your protection. I'm going to protect you from, and I'm going to protect you in. Abraham's 10 years into this journey. I mean, sometimes we're frustrated after a couple of weeks of praying and believing. And God's shown us something. He's given us a promise. He's given us hope. He's given us something to cling on to. And yet we end up being frustrated with God's timing. And so as Abraham's walking on this journey, holding on to this promise, stepped out of familiarity, is believing God. God says, look, Abraham, I need you to understand I'm a shield in front of you. And I'm a shield as you keep walking through the daily routine of daily discipline, daily obedience, that I am your shield. Someone needed to hear that this morning, that God is your protection. God will protect you. He'll protect you from things that you don't even know. Things that are coming for you that God stands in the way. And he protects us from things that we have no knowledge of. I wonder how many things that as we've walked through this journey of life, that darts have been coming for us, and yet God has stepped in. The great shield of God who's protected us from the enemy's accusation, from the enemy's darts, and yet we find ourselves still going today. The fact that you are still going right now is evidence of God's protection in, around, and over your life. It may feel like, wow, there's specific circumstances where it feels like God didn't protect me from that. But the great thing about God is he doesn't just protect us from things. He allows certain things in his providence. And there's mysteries that we know not of, and yet God is able, even in our difficult situations, to be a protection, so that fear has no grip on us. We continue to live by faith, step by step. God, if nothing else, I'm going to stay faithful to you because I understand your presence is with me and that I can stay in faith because you protect me. You've got a shield around my heart. And though the devil may accuse and the devil may allow, try and get fear to rob me and steal my joy, God, you protect me. Psalm 91, verse 1 to 6, whoever dwells, lives, rests in the shelter of the Most High. We've got to put ourselves in the right environment. He will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. And I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge. He is my fortress, my God, in whom I trust. Surely he will save you from the fowler's snare and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you will find refuge from his, and his faithfulness will be your shield and your rampart. Colossians 1:17 says, God is before all things, and in him all things hold together. Your life is held together, not by your own doing, not by your own strategy or your own beliefs, but by the God who you put your trust in. God is able to hold you. God is able to hold your way secure. God is able to secure your way. God is able to protect you. And God will continue to be your fortress. May we be the people that run to him. May we be the people that find our cover, that come under his shelter, that we make his shadow our cover. Third thing is simply this, that God is our prize. God is our presence. His presence is with us. His protection is over us. And the third thing, God is the ultimate prize. Genesis 15, verse 1, I am your shield. I am your very great reward. Abraham, halfway through this journey, on this pursuit of my plans and purposes for your life that will be fulfilled, you will step into and see my word come to pass. But I don't want you to be distracted by the fulfillment of the plan. I want you to understand that all of those things are great and the part of what I want for your life. But all of those things are just the extras. See, the ultimate prize in life is just the person of Jesus himself. The ultimate prize for every single one of us is the presence, is the protection of God. And so we've got to understand before we look for more things, when we acquire new positions and titles and opportunities and run through open doors and ask God for blessing and favor and come and move in this aspect of my life, that today we've got to look again and understand we have the ultimate prize right now. We're not waiting for anything better than what we've got. What we've got is the ultimate prize. In Genesis chapter 14, just before this moment where God speaks to Abraham, Abraham has won a battle and he has the option to take home the spoils of war. He's overcome an immoral people, and so the king offers him all that they have and says, you can take, you know, everything that we've got acquired over time. It's all yours. And yet Abraham looks back and he says, no, I'm not going to take any of your riches, because my hope is not placed in the riches, in acquisition. I'm not going to take it that this is part of, I don't need this, because I don't want to be on my pursuit of what God's got for me. I don't want to be distracted by anything. And I want to understand that God is my ultimate prize. Abraham wanted to continue to honor God with his life. And we've got to understand that we've got the very greatest prize that you could ever receive. Nothing that you can acquire in this life. Nothing will supersede what you already have. If your hope is in a promotion, you will be sadly disappointed when you get there. If your hope is in a certain career path or a title that can be bestowed on you, when you get there, you will be sadly disappointed. If your hope is on that open door, opening up and stepping into the favor and blessing of God, let me tell you, you will be sadly disappointed when you get there. If your hope is in a certain financial net worth personally, then let me tell you, you're going to be very disappointed when you get there. Because as good as any of those things may be, and maybe some of those things are a part of what God wants to do in and through your life, none of those things will fill the void of fulfillment and purpose in your life. The prize that you are looking for, you've got it right now. We've got to look again. I want to remind you who you have. You have Jehovah, I am. When you have Jehovah or Yahweh, you understand this eternal and unchanging God is something and someone that you can put your full trust and full hope in, that when everything else changes and shifts and everything moves, that you can still put your hope in Jehovah I am. We have El Shaddai, the God Almighty, who is all powerful, that we can rest and have trust in His power and His strength. And even when we have our weaknesses, that God is able to step in and put all grace on us to make out of our vulnerabilities an incredible strength. We have Adonai, the Lord, our Master. And as we submit to God's authority, we're able to allow Him to lead in every aspect of our life. And we're not stressed and anxious by trying to pursue things and take the lead, but rather we just say, God, You are my lead. As You move forward, I submit to Your authority. And when You say go, I'll go. And when You say stay, I'll stay. We've got to look again. We can understand we already right now have the Jehovah Jireh, the Lord who will provide. And we can trust God to provide for everything that we read about in Matthew chapter 6 when Jesus said, don't worry about what you can eat, drink, or what you'll wear, because everybody else worries about those things. We don't need to submit those things to God. He'll take care of every one of our needs. We have Jehovah Rapha, the Lord who heals. And to Him, we can bring our physical, emotional, and our spiritual wounds. And we come to understand the oil of the Holy Spirit can fill us and heal and repair and fully re-strengthen every aspect of our life. We have right now Jehovah Nissi, the Lord, our banner, who goes before us into our battles, who is our great defender, and in Him we have victory. We've got to understand right now we have all that we're looking for. Right now we have the greatest prize. We have all we need. Right now we have Jehovah Shalom, the Lord who is our peace. He is our presence and our calm. When we have anxious thoughts, that we don't need to hope for deep breathing techniques or put our hope in a circumstance changing, but we can simply come and lie down in green pastures and say, God, You are my peace. We have Jehovah Tsidkenu, the Lord, our righteousness. We don't need to earn our approval or affirmation from God, but in the person of Jesus Christ, right now, you are approved, you have a clean slate, and you have His righteousness. Right now, we have El Roy, the Lord, who sees me. Maybe you felt like nobody has seen you, and you've been left on the shelf, and yet you can understand right now you have the prize of the God who sees you wherever you are. He sees what you're going through. He sees what you're about to walk into. And yet He doesn't ignore any situation or any person. We have Jehovah Sabaoth, the Lord of hosts and the angel armies. At God's word, He commands His angel armies that when we go to battle, we never fight alone. We go with all of the authority, power, and all of the heavenly hosts go with us. And right now, as we worship, we are surrounded by angels worshiping with us. We join with the heavenly hosts, and they go with us wherever we go. Right now, we have Abba, Father. We can approach this incredible, powerful, almighty, eternal God, this God who never changes, this God who is the beginning and the end, the capital C, creator of all things, the definer of all things, the master, the Lord. We can come to Him and understand. We don't just see Him from afar, but we have intimate relationship with the God who is our Father. We have Emmanuel, God with us. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. There's not one moment of one day this week where God is not just a moment away. Just call on Him and He will come. We have the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. The God who knows the whole of your story. From before your first breath to your dying moment. This is our prize. Not the things of God, but God Himself. God, all we need is found in You. God, You are our great prize. You're all we need. As the psalmist said in Psalm 73, whom have I in heaven but You? The earth has nothing I desire besides You. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart. God Himself, God Himself is my portion. All I need today is a powerful presence, protection, and the prize. That is God Himself. Come on, I wonder if you'd stand to your feet. Lift holy hands. You know what that does when we have a revelation? God, all we need is You. What it does is a revelation just produces thankfulness in our heart. And right now, I just want you to thank God, not for what He's about to do in your life. I want you to thank God, not just for answers to prayers, but I want you to thank God for His character and for His nature, for the person of Jesus. All we need is found in Him. Could you lift up your voices? Come on, could you thank God for who He is? God, we're thanking You for Your perfect presence.
Thank you for listening to the Audacious Church podcast. For more information, visit audaciouschurch.com.